Everybody, welcome to this week's Power Up. I'm Trisha Hirschberger.
I'm Maud Garrett. Today's shit. Let's have an amazing guest. We've got a cool one. He and I have been friends for a while now. Guys, it's fucking COVID. Some days are good, some days are bad, and today you can eat a dick. Sorry.
Maud's having a rough day, so everybody in chat, send Maud good wishes, positive thoughts. Tell her she's a lovely human being. She needs the uptick today. So that's why we're going to power up.
Yes, that's why this show's called Power Up.
For Maud. Power up for Maud. But as Maud mentioned, our guest today is someone we've both known for years and years and years and love very dearly. So let's go ahead and bring in host, podcaster, producer, comedian, maybe. I don't know if he does stand up, but he's super funny to me. Let's bring in Kale Anonymous.
Hello. Hey, what's up, Geek Bomb?
Hey. Kale, have you ever done stand up? Now I need to know.
No, I haven't. Do you feel like, as a host, that we all should try that at some point? Do you feel like that's something we should try?
There's something very vulnerable about comedy because you're getting on stage and saying things, but inviting the audience to weigh in on whether you're funny or not. You know?
Yep. Yeah. It's a collaboration a little.
Stand-up comedy is also much to the antithesis of what the marvelous Mrs. Maisel would have us believe. Stand-up comedy is something that's like a fine art. You have to work and work and work your timing and those jokes over and over because like one simple word switch could make all the difference if the joke lands or doesn't land. You know what I mean? So, and that's kind of the thing that...
You're a technical approach to it. That is so brilliant, where it's like tweaking words, the time between the words. Like that is literally applying like a formulaic process behind it.
That's what stand-up comedians do. That's what stand-up comedians do.
It's about timing and they'll you know, say... If they pause at a specific part in a sentence, it's funnier, you know, like there's so much to tweaking it that I haven't dealt with my comedy that much, but that's actually part of my read in my reading section.
Ooh.
That'll come up. That'll come into play. So
I love it. I knew. I got that feeling. I was like, he probably hasn't actually done stand up, but he totally could. And I'd be there for it. So Kale, if people who are watching, don't, are like, man, this guy looks familiar, but I'm not quite sure what I know him from. What would people know you from?
I have been, God, everywhere. I feel like all of us have, right? The three of us have.
Yes.
I mean, everyone. Yes, everyone has. But three of us have. Some may know me from Machinima. Some may know me from Yahoo, from CNET. I've done a whole series where I did every National Day. I'm doing a travel series right now.
Woo!
I've worked on a great show at Geek and Sundry. That was a lot of fun.
That's Boyce Games in chat right now just said Game Engine.
Yeah, Game Engine. Oh, I miss it. I miss Game Engine. But currently I'm working at Fandango and also at Kingston, Trisha.
Yes! My Kingston series that I've been doing for years and years and years and years, DIY in 5, Kale was the one who got me that job.
Yep, and came in and they were like, we love her. Thank you so much. By the way, didn't get like a gift basket or anything. Just got a nice like thank you for this legacy person that they've added to their team.
We have been doing that show for like 6 years now or something crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I should get like one of those edible arrangements or something.
You should, you know what, Kale? I will send you an edible arrangement.
Okay, I feel better.
That made you feel better. And Kale, you also have, speaking of things that will be legacy and with you long term, you have a new addition to your family.
I do. I have a puppy now, which I've never had a young puppy. I don't think. I think I've always had like old dogs. But yeah, it's a golden doodle. It's my first large dog I've ever had, and I was not ready. Very full of energy. I let her off the leash, and she tore through the park.
Swimming.
And just was like eating somebody's pizza, like went to go eat somebody's pizza, knocked over a kid, knocked over a child, and then like was terrorizing every little. I've got a new chore.
If you listen, I mean, Trish has got you beat for all the kid tricks. I got you down for puppy. I can teach you puppy tricks and techniques big time if you need help with any of that.
Yeah.
So I've got a very well behaved little girl, except she does try to herd people. So if someone in this apartment tries to walk past, she'll almost nip at their ankle as like a herding technique to be like, yes, go over there. Yeah.
We know who's in charge over there. What's Zelda's best trick?
My God, she can sit, she goes down, bang, she'll roll over, high five, she'll spin around like a little princess, we'll do fist bumps, give me a kiss, do you love me? Yes, she does, now she can eat.
I have seen that. I have seen that happen in person.
She has to do all of that to eat?
So what you will learn to understand is that dogs want commands. They need to be told what to do, otherwise they can get anxiety. But with Zelda, like, she's very, very treat-based, so that's where she does her best learning. So if like she knows the reward is worth it, then that's when you can really kind of like get instructions down. But for her to sit and wait until she can be instructed to eat is a very, very crucial thing, because otherwise they will take liberties to eat everything at any time. She's also a bit of a trash monster though, this one.
She'll nice. Yeah, that's good though. You know, something falls on the floor, the vacuum Zelda just...
Oh, you know what? That would be, that's something I definitely regret about not having a dog. The vacuum aspect would be lovely.
Does everyone have a costume for their little ones this for Halloween? Like, do you have one for Logan? And then do you have one for Zelda?
I have a little pumpkin.
I mean, so do I. You see my little pumpkin?
Little pumpkin.
This is me decorating my set.
Oh, thank you for decorating your set. I know you didn't do it for us, but I really appreciated it. And that hoverboard in the background is gorgeous, too.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, What about Logan? What's Logan's?
Logan is old enough now that I asked him what he wanted to be for Halloween. And he said, a spooky ghost. So we sat down on my laptop and I picked out several spooky ghost options. And I let him choose between them. And so he picked out his own spooky ghost costume for this year, and we've always done like family themed costumes, so Nate and I were like, I guess we're being spooky ghosts, so we're gonna be a family of spooky ghosts. Now granted, Nate picked out like the Ghost of Christmas Past kind of ghost costume, and I picked a La Llorona ghost costume, so we'll be three very different ghosts. Logan's like the traditional sheet with the holes, so three very different ghosts, but a ghost family nonetheless.
All of these check out.
Does your puppers have a costume, Kale?
Yes. I'll be dressing her up as Fozzie Bear. Because her fur looks exactly like Fozzie Bear. So she's going to have her tongue hanging out and that stupid hat and the stupid tie, and I can't wait. This is the big payoff for all my hard work. Is this dressing this dog up.
Because I know you had a kitty. Why a puppy?
Just because, you know, like my other dog died and I was just like, you know, it's time to, I can fill some time. I have time to pay attention to it, you know? So, and I still have the cat. The cat's still here. Despises the dog just with all its heart. Yeah. Just hates it.
Thank you, dog. So,
that was going to be my next question is, and how's the cat faring?
Not great. She hates it. She peed in the closet. She's just having a bad 2020. So,
how do they interact together? Is the puppy like stay away from the cat or all up in the cat's business?
The dog comes at her like the Indiana Jones ball, and she runs away like Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's cute. You play the soundtrack to make a real thing out of it.
Critter Nation just posted some emotes in chat of a dog happily licking a cat that looks not happy about it. And I'm like, wow, that is the perfect emote for this situation. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Ghosts with a flower crown. And I'd just like to say, I honestly think that ghost is the scariest costume for 2020, because the ghosting that I've experienced in 2020 has just been horrific. Yeah.
I hear you. I think we should all just go as ghosts with the eyes cut out. I think we should just all do it.
I loved that there was no hesitation. He didn't even think about it. And it wasn't like maybe a ghost. It was like a spooky ghost, which made me think like which of his Halloween books or like Halloween specials he's been watching lately that feature a spooky ghost, like with words spooky and ghost right next to each other, that would quickly come to mind for him, you know? I don't know.
Not even skipped a beat. Spooky ghost.
Not even skipped a beat.
Does he practice those?
He runs up and goes, boo, and then runs away. It's very, it's not much of an ooh. It's a very, he wants the jump scare. He's going That's for the jump scare.
An intense ghost, yeah. He's a Blumhouse ghost.
So anytime he does it, of course, Nate and I are like, ah, and run away.
That's
I love that. I love that Nate went for, of course, like a show tunes character.
He did.
Was
He's
like on brand.
The Marley yep. ghost with the chains and everything.
Voice game says, who are you going to call? Tiny human.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Maude, we should show up to their house as Ghostbusters. And
I actually have the Ghostbusters costumes I could give you. We did Logan's first Halloween. Nate and I went as Ghostbusters, and Logan was Stay Puffed. Because that's a really easy costume for a baby, because they already are kind of like mushy and blobby. So you can... That's so that cool. was our first one. Yeah, it was pretty good. I actually just posted a picture of that on Instagram today. I did like a Halloween Throwback Thursday post, and that's the one that Logan was in. But yeah, good times.
Maude, do you have a Halloween costume this year, Maude?
This year? No. I hadn't really thought too much about it. Like, I forgot that... I mean, I'm excited about the eating chocolate part. That I think I'm going to really do well at. But in terms of like, hello, what's that? What are
I
they?
Got the Reese's and Kit Kats, and it's in a Dodger helmet.
Yummy. Do they have the white Kit Kats? The white and the orange Kit Kats are so good.
Are they? I haven't tried those.
I haven't tried them either.
Good. I got sent something. I don't know who sent it. I think it was Bueno Chocolate. I got this like, what is the... bloody thing that you guys do at Christmas time with the advent calendar.
Yes.
But it was a Halloween advent calendar, and every day I got to open up a chocolate leading it to 31st of October. I flushed that thing out in 2 days.
You're not supposed to. You're supposed to obey the rules.
You try having hormones that come once a month.
Do it, Maude. Do your thing. I just got sent. Speaking of eating it all in one day, I just got sent, I just opened this today, but I'm probably going to save it for Halloween day as like a fun Halloween activity. HBO Max sent me a bunch of salt and straw ice cream that's in like scary Halloween flavors.
You
know what? I'm one of those people that, and this is, I want to know what your weaknesses are. My weakness, anytime a brand reaches out and is like, hey, we want to send you something, please tweet about it or whatever. Just so the audience knows, usually those things are not paid things. They just really want to send you something so that you can promote whatever they're doing. Anytime it has the words ice cream in it, I won't even read the whole thing. I'm like, yep, it's an auto. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Ice cream. Yes. Yes. Ice cream's involved. How is ice cream involved? Please tell me about it. What is your weakness like that? Do you guys have one?
Yeah. Ice cream and chocolate. I love chocolate.
Free stuff, man. Like, that's so hard. Usually if they'll send me something free, I'll talk about it.
No, I've really cracked down where it's like, do you want all of these knickknacks? And I'm like, I really don't, because I've moved house. I had like a wall full of pop figures and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, no more. But if it's edible, like I will. Yeah, sure. That's far more likely. Give me a little bit of chocolate.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I agree with that. I don't need like a, I don't know why I thought of Roomba first, but yeah, no, I would love a Roomba. Send me a Roomba.
Dude, I tried to get a Roomba because I think Roomba was the brand. It might've actually been Samsung. But they're like Roomba like cleaner because they made one that was made to look like Vader and played the death marches that went around your room. And I was like, oh my God, I'm the perfect person for this. Please send me this. And like, and they totally wrote me back one of those, like, we'll take it into consideration and add you to the list, which is 100% in no way.
But you know what? Okay. It sounds like a good idea, but it's like those birthday cards where you're like, oh, it's playing happy birthday. That's cool. And then when you hold it out and like keep it open, it plays it over and over again. And all you want to do is cut it up into a million pieces.
I don't know. I almost, it was right around when Nate and I got married and I almost put it on our wedding registry because I wanted it so much.
Hey, let's get into power. We are going to
Oh my God, yes.
Currently playing, watching, and reading. The chat was fun. We'll do a little bit more after the show, methinks. But Kale, what are you currently playing, apart from Among Us, which you and I have played a considerable amount of lately, and someone actually, I think it was STS, straight away went Kale Sauce at the start. That's been very, very funny.
That's been great. I am currently playing Super Mario 3D All-Star, which is the new Mario game that you're only allowed to get till March, believe it or not. Isn't it March? Isn't that the date?
Yeah, and they're going to stop selling it. Nintendo's doing a Disney vault. You can only get it for so long, and then it goes back in the vault.
You can only get this game, and it has three games in it, Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy, some of the classic Mario games.
Which one's your favorite out of those?
I have probably 64. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to work my way through them. And I'm going to try and 100% all of them. So I'm currently still on 64. Dang. I have 89 stars. And I was like, oh, I'm almost done. I just need to get 100 stars. Nope. Apparently there's like 150 or 130.
Yeah, there's sneaky secret ones. 132, what was it? But Galaxy's worse, dude. It's like, and oh my God, Odyssey's even harder. Odyssey was like, you can finish the game at like 30. You have to collect 800.
I did. Not looking forward to that. Oh, this isn't okay.
It's only Galaxy. Galaxy is still great though.
Oh my God, 64 is kind of unplayable.
Nah, it's
really?
Still
have you gone back to like the camera is
the
is
angles are shocking.
Awful.
Yeah, well, that's so you'll be trying to run over a plank that you need to be able to look at, but then the more you run over the plank, the more it goes. And if the camera moves, so does Mario's direction. So you have to write that course of an angle that is moving without you doing it. So yeah, I will hear you on that. It is a little tricky.
Someone nailed the sound of the camera. That's the exact sound it makes. That's how it would sound if you made it out loud. I think someone needs to make an edit where someone's moving the camera and replace it with that mod noise. I'm just saying.
Yeah, what's stuff like that? Zelda's one time you made it a motorcycle edit.
Yeah, I love it. She sounds just like a motorcycle. But yeah, 64 is notoriously bad for its camera. You'll just want to walk, like she said, down a beam. And the camera options will be facing this direction or this direction. You're like, no, just like straight on. Let's just see where he's going. And you're just like, meh, meh, meh. See, I can't do it as well as you can.
I didn't realize I did it.
But it's classic. Like you can feel that it's classic. It's so much fun. I've been having a great time with it. I'm at 89 stars, and I feel like that's the part where it gets like
120.
Disgusting. Yeah.
You need 120. It says Strict Red Kite. 120 in the original game, star-wise. Thanks, bud.
And you know what's great about playing an old game like this is they do not tell you at all what to do. So I'm on the clock level where you have to jump through the clock face and then you go inside the clock.
Yeah.
But what they don't even tell you that if you have to time when you go in by what's on the clock face, and that'll change the speed of everything that's going on inside the clock. If you jump in at a certain time, everything's moving faster. At another time, it's going slower. Another time, it's stopped. Mm-hmm. And then another time, it's random. So things will be going like fast and then speed up and then fast.
I didn't know that.
Stuff you had to learn.
Yep. All games. It was all trial and error. And I'm trying to think, N64, was Nintendo Power Magazine still around then?
Yes, and that actually explains STS saying, why were old games so hard? Because they had magazine support, and it was actually brilliant. You would buy the game, couldn't play the game, didn't have internet to look up the game, had to buy the magazine to be able to complete the game. Brilliant pairing.
I agree with you, brilliant pairing. But I think the magazines arose because the games were so not intuitive, and you needed something. And you're right, it was before internet was a thing. You couldn't look up a walkthrough. You couldn't anything. And a lot of these games, like Kale said, the only way to find out that that's how you interface with that clock is if you, like, oopsie, accidentally tried it. Like, one of my favorite ones of those of all time is Castlevania 2, where there's a section you just need. One of the dead ends you find is, like, a cliff. You have to squat by the cliff, facing the cliff for, like, 12 seconds. And then a tornado will come and take you away to the rest of the game. But there is nothing in the game that, like, says that that's a thing you have to do. There's some, like, very poorly translated something. I have to look up what it is right now because it's going to drive me crazy. The people are like, oh yeah, that was the clue to squat by the cliff for 12 seconds. And it's like, what?
This is gonna age me for sure. But did anybody ever call the hotline? Because they used to have a hotline for Nintendo games.
It was a 900 number.
Did you ever call it?
No, my mom would have murdered me. I wanted to, though, so bad.
Maud, did you? Did they even have it? No?
I think it's a bit before my time.
Okay. I wonder if anybody in the comments or in the chat has ever called it. Because I would love to know what it was like. Because I think Mario picked up. I think it was like, thank you for calling the Nintendo hotline. And it's like, what game are you having problems with, you noob? And then it would give you tips or whatever. I don't assume in Mario's voice, but then it'd just be like an old person.
I'd do a pink one. Why haven't you rescued me yet? I'm still here.
Oh, so good.
Okay, now Trisha, you do Kratos.
I get what?
Boy. We did an impression of
that was my Kratos impression.
What do it again?
A full sentence?
Boy.
That was it. That's what I got.
Love it. Love it.
There's somebody else's
edit project. Put Trisha over
you know what they should do to really fuck with boy. You? I feel like I really need help. And it's like No. Please help me.
Okay, but what I've gotten so far.
But I've never played Sunshine, so.
Neither. I never did either.
Yeah.
Really good things about it. Sam Basher, who I used to host with for like a year and a half, said that Sunshine has the best soundtrack out of any video game.
Out of any video game.
Oh, the best. I know,
obviously it's
soundtrack?
Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
But he thinks that it's the best. The best.
Am I to disagree? Update on the Castlevania thing. They are actually not poorly translated, ironically. The original clues in the Japanese version of the game are just as terrible as the English version. That's recently been proven on the forums that I found them on. They were intended to be misleading, vague, or gobbledygook.
Right. They meant to make it confusing for children?
Apparently.
Games weren't easy back in those days. Remember, like, freaking Earthworm Jim, even Lion King? You had 3 lives. And it's like, once they were done, you were done. And so as soon as you were able to explore a new area, you were probably on 0 lives. And any mistake that you made, you have to start from the beginning again. So it's, like, so hard to beat games back then.
It kind of wasn't fun a lot of the time. You just had to, like, retire from a game because you couldn't get past a part.
Yeah.
Just like, Mom, I'm done with this game.
Well, there were very few of those, though, I feel like.
Maybe for you, extra gamer, like, I would just give up. I would just be like, this game isn't for me.
If by extra gamer you mean had no friends and just played video games all the time for years, then yes. Oh, hi, Zelda Snuggles.
I just feel like you're more of a completionist than me.
I'm definitely more of a completionist for sure. Yeah. But I mean, I also had the parents that were like, when I said, hey, can I get a Super Nintendo? They were like, well, have you beat all your Nintendo games yet?
It's like, have you eaten all your vegetables?
No.
Yeah.
Did you finish your Mario?
And when you're trying to explain that, like, the original Final Fantasy is really difficult, they don't want to hear that. It's like, well, I guess we don't need to buy you a new console then. So I never got to experience a lot of these Mario games that you're talking about with such fond memory.
You know, boys are saying, don't let them shame you, Trish. Completionists unite. I think it's such a cool headspace to be like, if I'm going to start this, I will finish it. Because I mine's about enjoyment. So it's like, if I stop enjoying it, then I don't want to play it, you know? But I admire that, you know, whatever it takes, I'm going to get to the end of it. And, you know, it must be so rewarding when that actually happens.
Well, yeah. Thank you for saying that. For me, it's not, it depends on how well the game is crafted as far as how well you can pick it up over time. So what I mean by that is I will keep playing something to the end, even if I'm awful at it, if I feel like every time I play it, I'm getting a little better. Like if the muscle memory kicks in or if a game is crafted in such a way that you can grind out and raise your stats or like whatever. Like I remember there was a Disney The Little Mermaid game for the original NES that was, like, super hard. But eventually, I beat it. Like, eventually, I figured out where all the bad guys were and memorized the levels and the boss battle patterns enough to make it happen. But then there were some games that were just so hard that I felt like they were so defeatist, just they weren't fun. And then I agree with you, Maude. Then it's like, this is just torture.
Yeah.
Do you remember do each of you remember the last video game you 100% completed?
Yes.
What was it?
100%?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, I was like, I just finished playing through Final Fantasy VII and did I 100%?
Dragon Age 3. Last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Last year?
That was my second playthrough. It was my second playthrough. Yeah.
Cool. That's a good one.
There you go. Telltale games are a bit like that. Uh-huh. No quest, very linear.
Tell me why.
The smaller games.
I just finished Tell Me Why recently.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
I know. You're going to say that every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Every time.
Dragon Age 3 is so good, says STS2884.
Fair. What other games have I 100%ed? I know that none of the Assassin's Creed. I am not collecting those fucking musical notes flying above the...
I 100%ed the new Spider-Man. It was super easy. Whatever the last one was, for PlayStation...
Yeah.
What are we on now, 4?
Insomniac Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. That one was incredible. I couldn't... And it's easy to 100% as well. I didn't 100% all the DLC, but did either of you get the new consoles? You did, Trish. You got the new console.
I did.
I did not. Last gen Australia sent me both of them. So this year I was like, I'm not going to do the hustle and try and get it. And now I don't have it. So
look at that green on top.
Look at that thing.
I was honestly...
That is so nondescript.
I was it looks super like shocked. I was honestly super shocked that I was sent one because I'm not affiliated with any major channel. Which kind of for the chat watching or anyone who's listening to this, that's kind of how it works. Is like, if you're one of the huge, 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 huge ones, you are obviously at the top of the list for this kind of thing. And, you know, so if you're affiliated with an IGN or an Inside Gaming or SourceFed or something like that, those channels are more likely to be considered to be sent something rather than individuals. So I was very surprised. And the only reason that I got one was because Taco Bell is giving away a ton of Series X's.
Hell yeah,
and
dude.
Hit up Microsoft and basically was like, yo, do you want to give some Series X's to, like, your B team or C team or whatever tier that is that didn't get your review units that you sent out in celebration of the Taco Bell Series X giveaway? So that's why I got the Taco Bell Series X. And I know Lasercorn got that too. And again, these are people that are, like, not affiliated with a major brand right now. These are individuals. Whereas the people who are like the major tech reviewer channels that I know with millions of subscribers, Microsoft just sent them one to do a tech review on. So it was like a different list. But I'm just super happy to have made any list and I'm obviously overjoyed. But yeah, Taco Bell Series X. Thank you, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell coming in when you, nice. It picks you up when you're feeling down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Taco Bell.
Yeah, Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell.
I know.
Hey, let's move on to watching.
Oh, so right now, it's actually great season for it, but I'm watching Doom Patrol. I didn't watch it when it was on the DC All Access or the DC Access app or anything. Mm-hmm. I waited till it came over to HBO Max. And I had always been curious about it, and I got HBO Max for something else. And then I just happened, I was like, all right, it's time to catch up on it. It's incredible. I love this show. Right now I've been trying to rank the team superhero shows. You know, there's The Boys,
Umbrella Academy,
and Doom Patrol. And I feel like there's another one, and I forgot what it is. And I think the way it goes for me is actually maybe Doom Patrol, then The Boys, then Umbrella Academy. They're all
the
great.
Boys are not for people.
Yeah, yeah.
Doom Patrol, then The Boys, then Umbrella Academy. Interesting. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I thought Umbrella Academy were great because they were siblings, you know, like they had that lifetime sort of rapport with each other. So you got the good and the bad. Whereas Doom Patrol were just like a bunch of misfits that just have to kind of stay together.
If you want to, the best way I've been able to explain it is they're all Frankenstein. They're all like a misunderstood monster that doesn't know how to control themselves and doesn't know where they fit in the world. And so it's just a bunch of misunderstood characters all trying to get along with each other, trying to figure out, you know, what it is that they even are. So there's a lot more to explore, I feel like, in this one than there is in a lot of the other ones where it's just circumstantial. And this one is so wild. I never know what's going to happen in each episode because it's so off the beaten path. Like, oh, suddenly there'll be a talking cockroach. And then they'll be stuck in a painting. And then they're on this street that is a living, breathing creature that is like full of people that are like cross-dressers. It's just, and then there's a giant rat making out with that cockroach. It's crazy. And I never know what to expect. And so I'm always excited to sit down and put it on and just let it do its thing, you know?
And you know what, Kale? It's funny because all three of those superhero shows that you mentioned are all super weird like that. I would say Doom Patrol is definitely the most out there. Maybe definitely is an assumption. To me, Doom Patrol is the weirdest. But all three of them are very weird out there superhero shows, and that's what I like about them.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? Umbrella Academy is a talking monkey, so you can't say that there isn't weird stuff in that show, too.
Oh, there's definitely weird stuff in that.
Yeah, and then there's plenty of weird stuff in The Boys. I think Doom Patrol was an answer to a lot of my... Because we're in the industry, we deal with a lot of superhero stuff all the time, every day. Like, multiple times a day, we're reading articles and stuff like that. And Doom Patrol is so vastly different than everything else out there that I feel like I get to just, like, enjoy it instead of, like, worrying about the lore of, like, oh, what's the origin? How did they change this from the original? I just get to sit down and be like, okay, what? We got, Doom Patrol. Who's going to do what? And also, Brendan Fraser is in it. So how can you complain about that?
I love his voice. It's just like such a blast from the past. He's like a warm hug. And I love to see him really having fun with this role. My favorite thing about Doom Patrol, now I've only seen the first two episodes of the first season and the first episode of the second season. Don't ask. I had to review the first seasons of it, first episodes of it. But I never got back into it, which is a crying shame. I think I would love it. The very first part of the first season was just saying, we are not going to take the genre seriously. Like, all the rules are out the window, and I really respected that. And it was Alan Tudyk, and I was like, yay. So that was
Mr. Nobody.
Yeah.
And he's terrifying as Mr. Nobody.
I've got to watch the scenery.
I love it.
I've barely been watching any television lately.
Well, not to spoil anything, but he's not in the second season.
I know that.
There's a throwaway line where someone goes, hey, where is he? Where's Mr. Nobody? I really like that guy. And he goes, oh, he went off to go do some animated series. And and it's an Easter egg because he went off to go be the Joker in a new Batman DC series. And then apparently in an episode of that he's in, as the Joker, that he walks in, Batman walks in without Joker, without his makeup on. And he goes, who are you? And he goes, oh, me? I'm nobody.
Nice.
That's beautiful.
Crossover. I love it.
I love that. Semper Ubi Sub Ubi just said, can someone please tell me what you're talking about? We have gotten to the watching component of Power Up. Power Up being an acronym. Playing, watching, reading. And Kale, our guest for today, is watching Doom Patrol. So that's what we've been talking about.
I'm watching it, yeah. I love that they gave so much backstory to Cyborg too, because I don't have any history with Cyborg. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't read any comics about him. I didn't really do much in the Justice League. What's that?
He was in Teen Titans.
Teen Titans. Yeah. But yeah. He has such a tortured past that they didn't like really explore in Teen Titans as much as like, oh, I was lying there with my dead mom, you know? So it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually like sympathize with him. I understand his plight and I kind of understand what he's going through now. So yeah, that's what I'm watching. What was that?
You understand it because of 2020?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's not what I said, but yes.
But also yes.
But yes.
Yeah, I haven't finished Doom Patrol yet either. I took a break. I actually got to see The Boys season 2 first out of like the most recent seasons, and then finished Umbrella Academy. And then I like took some time to do Lovecraft Country. You know, it's like, and you work in different genres there, but I need to finish Doom Patrol. That needs to be next.
Watchmen. Yes. That was the other one that I threw in my list.
I haven't seen that either. And I've heard amazing things, and it was nominated for Emmys. Yeah. I need to.
Yeah. That's why it's hard to make that list, is all four of those shows are good. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, like, which one is making that list is like, which one do I like the most? It's not which one is better.
Totally.
It's like, which one is the one that if I were to say, if someone's like, hey, recommend a superhero TV show to me that you like, it's like, okay, well, which ones in order would I pick?
But I always recommend The Boys, and then I apologize for that recommendation. Because if you are not the right type of person to watch that show, you will be horrified by that show.
I wouldn't mind talking to Chad about it, because I remember, especially in the second season, it hit people a little bit. Like, some people really loved it still. Other people were just like, you know what? I'm going to tap out. I don't want to keep watching The Boys. Where does everyone sort of sit with season 2, The Boys?
Loved it.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit the same. Like, I know it purposely wants to shock with gore, with violence, with going into Nazi territory. Like, it wants to aggravate and disturb in that way. But if it was horror, I think I would be bouncing pretty quickly. But because it's in a, not jest, it's definitely not jest. Like, they are really sending a message here. But because it's, I guess, a almost parody, like, it goes so far and extreme that it almost feels satirical in that way.
That's what I love about it.
Superhero genre. Yeah, that's why I like it.
Yeah, I love about it. And I love that they steered right into the 2020 skid in season 2. They didn't kind of go there. They went there hard. And yeah. You know what? The show's got balls. That's what I will say for it. And I appreciated it from start to finish.
There's even one character that was just like, we're going to steer the general people by using memes. Like, and then he started using memes. And then one guy, like, they got into his head about, like, how don't trust anybody. It was a cold open. They did a cold open that was, like, the most, like, impactful message I've seen about, like, 2020 politics. And they, like, twisted this guy's brain to not trust somebody who was foreign, and like, he snapped, and you're just like, and then it's like The Boys, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, it was the cultivating of the alt-right, and mm-hmm. how when you get into your echo chamber and all you do is get consumed by messaging, yeah, and that you become a vessel of that.
I've also read, as far as the, like, the people who say that, like, maybe season 2 was too much about the shock value and not enough substance, because someone said that in chat a little earlier. I've read that The Boys' graphic novel is actually way darker and more shocking. So it's not that just Hollywood was like, let's make it in your face. Like, apparently Hollywood's toned it down a bit from the source material, which I've never read the source material, so I can't say, but I've definitely read that.
Bless you. Are you excited about the spinoff?
Wait, what was that, Kale?
Are you excited about the spinoff?
Who's getting a spinoff?
They're doing a spinoff, which is a whole bunch of high school superheroes. Well, college superheroes. So they're all going to be in college, learning how to be like superheroes. And then they're all going to be vying for a spot in the 7. But I think it's going to be all new characters.
Ooh, that's cool. Hold on.
That is very fun.
But going for an X-Men feel.
I'm just going to time out us for a second. Because I think we're getting some echo from Maud's mic, I believe, because I'm hearing it from mine and I'm hearing it from Kale's, which means it's probably coming from Maud's setup. But it just started. Did you change something when you sneezed?
Yeah, because I muted it and then I got back into it. But then there's a delay, so I watched myself sneeze and I got the giggles. Is it better now?
Nope, it's not better now. I just heard Kale laugh with, like, a creepy, big, bad boss echo. Oh, it didn't do it that time, but now it sounds great.
So if I watch this on playback, it'll be you sneezing and then you laughing at you sneezing?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I that's mean, entertainment.
Now that's a show. So funny. All right. Well, thank you for telling us about Doom Patrol, and it led into a lovely conversation of just weird superhero team-ups, which there are a lot of right now. We're all very, very lucky. But Kale, we are now on to the reading part of the show. What have you been reading?
So I decided that... So currently I'm reading Buster Keaton, The Persistence of Comedy. I'm a big fan of Buster Keaton. I learned about him in cinema class back when I took it. They basically taught us the history of cinema, and they obviously started with black and white movies. But Buster Keaton was always one that really stood out to me just because he did a lot of the stuff himself. So he'd do a lot of the writing, he would do a lot of directing, he would do a lot of the stunts, he would come up with it. He put himself into his projects a lot. And I feel like the three of us kind of get that sort of mentality,
right? Yeah, I was like,
right?
So he basically was like the precursor to the digital content creator.
Yep.
Since those
and
people have to do
himself.
Everything.
Yep, he had his own style because of the way that he did it. He put himself in a lot of risk. But yeah, to me, it speaks a lot to that sort of mentality. But doing it in the 30s, I'm sure, was vastly different. I just started this. And in the first chapter, so the reviews of it, because I wanted to find a book about him, the reviews were like, oh, she has such a way, like she's so beautifully written. And right now, that seems to be the only substance that I've hit so far, is that she writes beautifully. I haven't really gotten a whole lot about Buster Keaton yet. She spent the beginning of this book talking about Charlie Chaplin and how great he is. And I'm like, okay, but can we talk a little bit about Buster Keaton? But yeah, so far...
What's Buster Keaton's story, and why is he so sad on a book about comedy?
So that's Buster Keaton's kind of shtick, is that he wears that face almost the entire time he's doing his comedy. And you're supposed to read into that sort of subtlety and that stoicness. Like something will happen. Let's say like he has a horse and it just falls over. And then he looks at the camera with that stoic face. And you're supposed to like laugh at that drama. So there's a lot of sadness and drama, but played through that sort of face is supposed to be the comedy, you know, how comedy comes from tragedy sort of thing. But
doesn't that just teach you to laugh at people, other people's misfortune?
No, he's in on it because his character always is persistent. He, no matter if something bad happens to him, he keeps on going. And it's just supposed to be like, you're supposed to laugh like through tragedy, you know, like it's like something bad happened. You kind of like laugh through it.
When did he live?
Oh God. I don't know. Just the silent era, the 1930s was kind of like his.
So she's setting up the silent era, maybe era with.
Yeah. Yeah. Silent era. He didn't really do any talkies. He was mostly silent. I think he like tried to, and it didn't work. You know how like that happened to some actors? They like transition from silent movies to talkies, and they're like, "Hi, how you doing?" They're just like, "All right, you're done.
Yep.
Please don't talk.
We're done with you." But Buster Keaton did crazy stuff. He did stunts where like a whole house would fall on him, but there was like one window where like if he had to stand in the right place, and the window would fall, and then he would like look up at the camera with a straight face. But he did some of the most dangerous stunts that happened. He was basically the Tom Cruise of the silent movie era.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there. He rode a train that completely like fell off of its track, and like he would sit on the front of trains and just all kinds of crazy stuff that people weren't doing. But he came from vaudeville and he came from slapstick, and he knew that that was the way to get laughs and the way to push
vaudeville.
Vaudeville's kind of like on stage. Actually, you know who would be good at explaining vaudeville? Trisha Hershberger.
Why would I be good at explaining vaudeville?
Theater major.
Because of the theater major?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just hit my knee real hard and I'm gonna sing through my pain.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maude.
Aw.
Wow. Okay, what? Hold on. So, vaudeville. This is the actual definition. Great. Vaudeville, a type of entertainment popular chiefly in the U.S. in the early 20th century, featuring a mixture of specialty acts such as burlesque, comedy, and song and dance. So if you think of like circus-esque type of stuff, that's very vaudevillian. Okay. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Buster was in the circus, and he actually got his name. His first name isn't actually Buster. He actually fell down some stairs and got right back up because he's so used to doing that because of his circus act. And none other than, oh my God, I forgot his name as I was saying it. Oh, Harry Houdini said, wow, you're quite a Buster, aren't you? And that's how he got his name.
Harry Houdini named him.
Mm-hmm. He gave him the name Buster.
Buster.
So the book that you're reading.
We haven't seen a Busta since Busta Rhymes, have we?
The list of famous Busters includes those two and maybe one other that we can't think
well,
of.
Well, and Busta Rhymes is Busta, not Buster.
Oh.
They say this, they sound the same when I say it.
Yeah.
Busta or Busta.
Trisha Hershberger is a huge Busta Rhymes fan, so she wants to make sure the record is straight.
Need to make sure. Kale, is this book that you're reading, it's not an autobiography, it's just a straight biography?
Yes. Imogen Sarah Smith is the author.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, to the point, we're not sure.
Okay. But it's not like instructional on how to do that type of comedy. It's just a book on his life.
Yeah. It's just kind of like a book and kind of explains why and how he is. It gives a little bit of like his journey. But yeah, the book starts off with like a, hey, don't you guys like Charlie Chaplin? Isn't Charlie Chaplin great? Anyway, Buster Keaton also did stuff too. Anyway, end chapter one. I'm like, can we sweet talk Buster for a bit?
I'd never heard of Buster Keaton. Keats. What's his name?
Buster Keaton.
Keaton. Yeah. I've never heard of Buster Keaton.
I had also not heard of him, but I've heard of Charlie Chaplin, so I kind of get where the author's coming from.
Oh my God, you're just as bad as Imogen Sarah Smith.
Sorry.
This I don't know Buster Keaton, but I did bust a knee before.
Ba-dumps.
I got beef with you, Imogen Sarah Smith.
So, Kale, is this the type of book you would normally pick up? Like, what genre of book do you normally read?
I don't have a consistent... Before this, I was reading a sci-fi book. I kind of just feel it out. And I think before that, I was reading some other biography. I just kind of like... Whatever I think I'm interested in and I can't find a YouTube video on, you know, like when a video essay, or I'm not content with like watching some blogger like break down their career, mm-hmm. I'll find a book for it or something like that. But like, and then the sci-fi book I was reading was, I was like, I want to read the best sci-fi book. And
what's
so I looked
one?
Up a list of the, it's called The Red something or other. I forgot.
Red Sun?
I don't think it's called The Red Sun.
Huh.
I don't know. It's sci-fi.
She's having little head scritchies. This is what honey's gonna be like before you know it. A little lap dog.
Well, I mean, she's gigantic.
Yeah.
She's still gonna sit on my lap.
Yeah.
Aw.
I don't know the name of the book. Can we see your puppy? Can you bring your puppy in?
She's not here right now. Ooh.
Where did she go?
She went for a very long walk.
Forever.
sounds like I killed my dog.
It totally sounds like you killed your dog.
I'm sorry. Red Rising. That's the name of the book.
Red Rising.
Red Rising. So I guess it's a series. But yeah, I wanted to find a good book about sci-fi. So that's the one I picked up, Red Rising.
Yeah, now Kyle is sus.
Kale is super sus. So someone kindly is taking your pupper for a walk.
Yes, the dog is she'll be back. I still sound sus. This is why you kicked me out the airlock.
I'm voting for Kale.
Because I don't know how to defend myself when I'm innocent. I'm better at defending myself when I'm guilty, I think.
It's just different
enough with you. Yeah, you get defensive. No, what? No!
Kale, have you and I played Among Us together yet? I feel like maybe once.
You hopped in real quick. It was, you guys were filming, you guys had just filmed an episode. And so you guys, I was like, oh, you should hop in. Yes. I was like, you should hop in.
Right. And I couldn't figure it out or something. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. I understood. You guys had already had a full day. But you hopped in for a little bit. Yeah. I don't think you were imposter.
Nope.
But have you put in a lot of good time on it?
I put in a lot of good time, mostly with Gary Whitta and crew.
Gary's good. Also, Gary's like, good. I just don't want him to yell at me. So it's like, all right, I won't vote for you.
Gary and crew a lot. And then also the Vince Casso and Becca Scott, like Geek and Sundry crew.
Yeah.
I've been playing a bit. Is Becca good? Too. Becca is good. Of course, Becca's good. I mean, Becca.
I know, yeah.
Becca as a gamer is the type of gamer that will exploit every loophole in the directions she can find. And I feel like someone with that kind of brain and ambition and motivation is naturally going to be very good at Among Us.
That's actually one of our questions that we have for Bombs Away Q&A that has come through via the Geek Bomb Discord from Nathan. How did you get so good at killing friends in Among Us?
Is that for Kale? How'd you get so good at killing your friends, Kale?
Yeah, it's not rhetorical.
I think it should be all of us. Hey, look, it's easy because then once you kill them, I don't have to hear them be mad at me. So that's pretty cool. You blow them out the airlock and they're just like, see ya. But I'm actually not very good at being the imposter. I'm like worried about getting the perfect kill every time. I'm like, okay,
I need
to kill vent, get out of here. Like I need a whole like plan. And if I don't think I can fully get that plan working in full order, I won't do the kill. I'll be like, not close enough near a vent. I'm out of here.
Really? Interesting.
That's a smarter play. I wait until I have someone alone and then go for it. But you never really know if you're alone. Like sometimes you chance that and then someone walks in the room and is like, I just found you over the dead body. And then you have to hem and haw and, oh, I was trying to report. I didn't know how. Or, you know, whatever excuse that you're going to use to say that you didn't just murder ball that person. But, oh, yeah, a clean in and out the vent is way better.
I'll hide in the vent in electrical. I'll just hide there because that's the easiest place to kill someone.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know you could.
And then when they walk in, I pop out, kill them, and then pop back in the vent and then get out of there.
And when you do alibis, everyone's like, I haven't seen Kale for hours.
That's, yeah.
Ugh, there's no real way to, like, nail it.
That's the tricky one. Exactly.
Listen, at least we're not write it down people. Like, you've seen people bust out notebooks, right?
What?
No.
I probably should. There's people that
full on notebooks. Yeah. No. You'd be good if you had the notebook, Trish.
I probably should because I'm always like, I saw someone in Nav, but I forget who it was. Or like,
I say it out loud when I'm streaming. I will verbalize it. I'll be like, cool, that was yellow. Yellow is Trish. We're in electrical. Good. So that when something happens, I'm like, I just saw Trisha in electrical just then.
That's a good pro tip. I'm totally going to steal that because I have even been in situations where I watched the murder happen. Like, I came in and I found the body and, like, the person was running away and I only saw their legs at the top of the screen. And, like, I report it and then I'm in chat and I'm like, whose color legs were those? I don't, like, and I just saw them. And I'm like, it was either white or maybe, like, green. And then everyone's like, cool, you murdered them now because you don't know whose legs.
Yeah.
And
I'm like,
but I'm like Maude too. I gotta say it out loud. I have to be like, green O2, red electrical. When the problem that I have is that I only remember their dumb hat. So someone will be walking in with a cowboy hat, like, oh, this cowboy hat got him. And then it'll pop up to chat. I'll be like, oh my God, I don't know. Because they don't have their hats in the little tiny chat thing. Apparently they added that in the beta. So there's a beta going on right now that you can opt in on. And apparently they'll put all your little hats and clothes on your character.
Oh, that would make it easier.
That's cool. Oh my God, it would make it so much easier with someone that's got like a hamster on their head. I'd be like, oh, it was the hamster head, dude.
I've also been playing a lot of Among Us just like with family as an alternative to Jackbox Party Pack when you're doing your large family Zoom calls.
With family?
With family, with kids, which is also really funny. So I have a nephew who is now 6, I think, who is obsessed with this game. And you can tell immediately every time he's the imposter because his tell is, can I just tell you something? So in the discussion room, he's always like, wait, can I just tell you something? And we're like, okay, it's Ben. It's Ben, you're the imposter. Because he doesn't say, can I just tell you something if he's not the imposter.
Cute. I've got another question. Lee lost lost the numbers. What's your favorite type of candle? That sounds like there's a bit behind it.
No.
What's your favorite type of candle? Lee, from who's lost the numbers, who is Nerdist social media, I believe, manager now.
Oh!
What's your favorite type of candle?
Hi, Lee! I like the, what is that, D&D cantrip candles? Is that the D&D candle brand? I think it is.
Wait a minute. I know what this is about.
Thank God. What?
Because he's like really into candles right now. And I called him out on, he's been buying candles and posting them on Facebook. And I keep telling him to get this one that's called like, it's flannel. It's like a flannel candle. But yeah. he's really into candles. So it's probably also a legitimate question.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah,
candles. All right. Well, Trisha says cantrip candles.
Yeah. Let me just tell you some of the flavors they have. They're amazing. Mm. Stone moss chapel.
Ooh.
So it smells like a stone moss chapel.
How do you harness that scent?
Blackhound Tavern, the Library Scriptorium. So
oh my God, Trisha.
These are like the nerdiest candles.
Yeah.
So books. Good though. Like
it smells like parchment.
So,
old,
so let's see.
Worn.
They're sold out of everything right now, of course. But like, okay, the Blackhound Tavern candle is sweet, dry, rich, and smoky with notes of whiskey and firewood.
I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Shoot us that link for when it comes back in. Are they going to do another Kickstarter or something? Let's get on that.
Yeah, they come in and like, I forget who is the person that runs it. I forget who the person is who owns it. I follow them on Twitter. But they'll tweet when they're like, okay, about to get some more stock. Because they get crazy busy and get sold out and then have like life stuff, I'm sure. And then get back to candle making because I don't think this is all that person does. The Library Scriptorium is dry, cozy, and warm with notes of parchment, aged wood, and leather.
That sounds so you know, like with Felix Felixa, the potion in Harry Potter,
uh-huh.
where it's supposed to smell like three things that you love. I feel like those candles are literally those. That's what my Felix Felixa would smell like. Parchment.
Yeah.
Whiskey or like some sort of
But, like,
red
can
wine.
You imagine running Ottoman. A D&D session with, like, scents to go with whatever place
Damn.
You're in?
That's amazing.
It's
I haven't run a
cool.
D&D session. Well, that's a lie. I've been doing Dungeons and Dragons. There's one more question for you, Kale. You've done a lot of jobs. Which one has been your worst, says STS?
God, I've done, like, a ton of jobs. I don't know if I get to count ones that... that aren't like hosting, but I worked at a garage for a while, like a muffler installing place. That place was horrible. I hated that. I had like little chunks of metal underneath my hand all the time.
Ugh.
And I had to use that like orange scented cleanser that like guys that work on cars use.
Yeah.
Didn't like that. That was one of my least favorite jobs. Working
Fair
at the
enough.
Isoplex was terrible. An ice skating rink. That was pretty bad.
Did you
Hockey
get to
players
go,
smell terrible.
And we're going in the general direction when it's like, oh my God, the skate rink used to do that all the time where you had to skate the one way. And then they'd be like, we're going in reverse. And then you go reverse for like two songs. And then they would get you to go back in the general direction.
Did you ever get to drive the
what
Zamboni?
The hell? No, you had to like, you had to be authorized. I wish. Oh my God. I just.
Bye.
Bye, Kale.
Oh no.
I have a question.
Yeah, Kale in the back row, very small. What is it?
I, my friend, we, right? Is that the way it goes?
I just,
Trish?
You mean as as a little person or as a former teacher's pet that raised hands and had questions?
Okay, I wasn't height shaming you. No.
Okay.
That's where I was going with that. I just
That's
meant like
my
kids.
Job, Kale.
Yeah.
Oh no, as the kid that raised their hand a lot, it was never as timid as you just did.
Oh,
wait,
Kale,
I'm taller than you, aren't I?
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
Are you just going to height shame all of your friends?
I mean, if I'm going to be this tall, if I'm going to be Mozilla, then yeah.
I have to
surely
say,
there must be things you like being tall for. Like, there's got to be some like things you're just like, hey, hell yeah, I wouldn't trade this for the world.
Can I tell you, Maude, when you go to a convention like Comic-Con or something, you are not just in a sea of everything. Back shoulder plates.
I get to height shame much. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that. If I'm going to be this tall, I will look down at people. That's how it goes. It's a science thing. I have to do that to make eye.
You wear clothes much better as a tall person.
I don't know if that's true, but I can find things. Like if I'm at a music festival and someone's wandered off, I'm like, where are they? There they are. And they're like, where? I'm like, 500 meters that way.
The height also gives you perfect measurement. Yeah. 563 meters away.
The only time I don't mind being short. The only time I ever am like, oh, it'd be really nice to be tall is at the grocery store when I can't reach the top shelf because I do not want to ask somebody for help to get something. And then I'm also the crazy person who's kind of climbing up the shelves and hoping no one sees me do that. So that definitely happens in stores. Or when I'm at a con or something and all I see is shoulder blades and everybody else is like, oh man, look over there. It's so-and-so. I'm like, can't see that. Not even going to, unless the only time I even catch a chance is if I turn on my phone camera and like try to find somebody that way at cons.
But imagine being at a concert and no matter where you stand, you have to apologize.
Why do you have to
immediately
apologize?
Yeah.
Because they're looking at shoulder blades.
Well, not everyone's 5 foot nothing.
I am the shoulder blades.
Yeah. They may have like had a really great spot until Maude came along. And then they're like, well, great. Now my spot sucks.
Yeah.
Aww.
But my immediate thought was like, I don't know why this was my immediate thought, but I was like, oh, you're tall. You must be like probably good at fights. You know, like if you get in a fight, you probably got the upper hand there.
I don't fight.
I know, but that's probably why. Because you're tall. You don't like
look at that reach that I got.
I just mean like I'm not gonna fight a person that's taller than me. That's not a good idea.
But now the difference is like, you know, there's me intimidating, Trisha friendly. I don't know what it feels like to be called friendly because I'm too tall. I'm too tall to be friendly. That's a fact. I have a whole lifetime of evidence.
Oh, interesting.
Well, and the swap side of that is when you're tiny, people think they can walk all over you and that you're not as commanding of a personality, that you're like the assistant or the child that needs to be taken care of. Like, that's the flip side of being the tiny person. I think I got that a lot more as a kid, where I was like, I was the kid that was always picked on. I was the kid that was always bullied because I couldn't literally stand up for myself and be like a imposing figure. Like, people could just legit do that thing where they hold your head and you're like swinging your arms and just can't reach.
Did they do that to you
when you're that tiny?
That happened to you? So you got stuffed in a locker and they did that thing to you?
Every, God. 80s, 90s movie thing, yes, all of it. I had one
time.
So
in my mind, Maude is like going through school, like dunking on people and like walking around and like looking over concerts and stuff like that. And you're getting like held back and pushed in lockers.
I had one time that a girl that was not being nice to me ripped off my headband and then just held it in the air above her head like this, because no matter how much I jumped and tried to get it, I couldn't reach that. So my only recourse, and Maude and I have talked about this before, my only recourse was to go tattle on her, because I was like, well, I need my headband back and I can't get it myself.
That's why they put me in the sporting teams, because that would be the ball and no one could take it from me. It's so interesting. The grass is always greener, no matter what you've got.
Yeah,
you know the negatives for it. You know what you would like out of it. I remember the first time. I remember where I like the day, the time, everything. The first time I was ever called cute, I was like 17. The first time someone called me cute, and I was like, "Wow!" They're like, "What?" I'm like, I've never been cute. Like, I'm big. So, like, to be cute was just wonderful to hear that. I was like, please keep calling me cute.
Well, we all think you're cute.
I like it.
Okay,
I
think, never mind.
I think you're cute if you want to be called cute. And again, the opposite. Anytime someone was like, oh, she's cute, I was like,
Yeah. Let me be more than that. Yeah.
Oh,
this is kind of like, this is like a power down moment, this conversation. This is what we do in power down.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. We get real about who we are, our flaws and all.
It's true. But anyway, that's actually a great segue and a great way to wrap up the show. To everybody at home, thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this live, to everyone on YouTube in the future, thank you for watching this in the future. Podcast, same thing. Thank you for listening. And Kale, thank you so much for gracing us with your presence today.
I appreciate it, ladies. Thank you so much for letting me be on this show. I've actually watched it a few times. I've even watched some of this VOD stuff that you guys put on the channel. I love watching it. You guys are great. You're so much fun to watch, and you guys are so informed. I love it. Well, yeah, it's just that you guys are you're so great together, and you're so great separately and together. So there's so much more information and energy and humor, and you have a great flow. I just love it. I love it. So thank you for letting me be on the show. What?
Trisha, this is so big for you. Quite literally, this is big for you. In the logo, you're mm-hmm. taller than me. You're taller than me.
Wait, what?
Look at it.
I am like a pixel. Yes, I think I have a pixel line above
you.
It's obviously inaccurate. The logo is wildly inaccurate.
Power up is a lie. The lore is off.
Maude and I do have a photo from a premiere we went to together where our height is like, we're standing right next to each other and you can see it so clearly. It's amazing. Everyone was like, I don't even care what premiere you're at. This height difference is giving me life.
It's very funny. We're like pretty much a foot of difference.
Got to hop in and we got to do another Among Us. We got to get a gang together.
I'm down. I'm starting to get like really into it. Before I was like, I don't know enough to play the game well. But now that I feel like I'm getting a little bit better. But like I got caught out as an imposter one time because I ran up to something and then pretended I was done and moved on. And they were like, the task meter didn't go up. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
There's actual tip videos that are like have legitimate tips. Like I didn't learn about the red light on the security cameras until I watched the video. Yeah, the little progress bar.
That means someone's watching on the cameras.
Who? You can watch on cameras?
Oh, wow.
Yes, you can.
In security. Go to security. There's a computer. Yep. There's a series. Yeah, there's a series that has a bunch of tips like that. So you got homework now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Okay, I'll do it. Ugh, add that to my list of things.
All right, we'll discuss more Among Us strategy and power down. But again, huge thank you to Kale for being here. Kale, if people want to find you online, where can they do that?
You can type Kale Anonymous on literally anything. So that'd be Instagram, Twitter, and
except for my Twitch.
If you would like to follow me on Twitch, it is Powerful Stream. So check that out. I stream about once a week.
Awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
Yay. Sweet. Kale does fun shows on his too. On his Twitch. It's a very good time. All right. Thank you everybody so much for watching. We will see you soon. Bye.